Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, the third chapter in your Scofield Bible, page 674. We'll be reading just two verses from this chapter. We'll read the verses in unison. We'll turn to yet one other scripture, also in the book of Proverbs. As is our custom here at First Baptist, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll be reading verses 25 and 26. Begin with me, please, on the 25th verse. Ready? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Turn now to the 28th chapter of Proverbs, page 692 in your Scofield Bible. Proverbs 28 and the 14th verse. Likewise, we'll read this verse in unison. Begin with me, please. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Our privilege is great today. Our opportunity is wonderful. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for those who visit with us. We pray that thou wouldst bless visitor and member alike, that our hearts would certainly be in tune with thee and ready to receive thy word as preached by the man whom thou hast sent for this hour. Thank you for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to listen carefully this morning, as always, but I want to speak to you this morning on a little play on words in the Bible, and I hope you'll let me have your attention. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak this morning, and these dear ones as they listen. We have need. Most of us don't really realize what our needs are. We know some of them and think we know others, but you know our needs. You said you'd supply them according to riches and glory. Meet those needs this morning through thy simple servant and this amazing book. In Jesus' name, amen. My Bible said in our text this morning, be not afraid of sudden fear. And I'll ask you not to take notes. I want everybody to look this way and listen carefully. I want to help you. I don't want to educate you. I want to help you get strength. The Bible said, be not afraid of sudden fear. And then it says, happy is the man that feareth always. Now, I'm going to confess something this morning. You're listening to a coward. I am a coward. I am afraid. Now, I'm going to tell you a few of the things I fear. None of them are sitting on this platform, by the way. But one is sitting in the choir, but I want to tell you some things that I fear this morning. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have a fear of having a stroke. I'm 71 years of age, and I have a fear of one of these days falling and feeling paralyzed. In fact, every time my foot goes to sleep, I worry about it. And my foot goes to sleep when I go to bed. Does yours go to bed? John, you're half asleep if your foot goes to sleep. But we had to lengthen this platform here so Ray Bordway could sit up here on the platform. But I have a fear. It's genuine. I fear having a stroke. I fear having to sit in a wheelchair sometime at the altar and hear somebody else stand behind the pulpit where I've preached for over 38 years. I fear. I'm not scared of it. I'm afraid. Something else I fear. I fear death. By the way, so do you. I know I'm going to heaven, but there's just some other way to get there. If the Lord just sends a chariot, and I've said many times, you did it for life. Do you like him better than you like me? But he said, yes, he did. But I'm afraid to die. I'm not afraid of eternity. I'm not afraid of where I'm going. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. That's all settled. But I'm afraid to die. Tell you something else. I'm afraid of old age.
A little late, but I'm afraid of old age. I mean that. I don't make any bones about it. I do something else. I'm afraid of battles. In our recent lawsuit that has been wrongly filed against our church, the church in the whole area that does more for the educable soul than all of the churches put together. Anyhow, I won't say anything about that. But Ms. Howes and I were with a group that of contest winners in Niagara Falls, and we were having a good time. And then about 5 minutes before we got to eat on Tuesday night, we called the office, and they said, call the Hammond Times. And I called the Hammond Times, and then, of course, we were just devastated. We were quiet the rest of the evening. We cried some. And I usually bleed for about 2 days, and I bled for 2 days. Bleeding has stopped, and it's fine now, not fine, but I'm afraid of battles. I'm a coward. I really am. By the way, let me say this. Every great accomplishment that has ever been done has been done by people who were cowards and people who were afraid. Now, let me say, if you're afraid today, don't feel badly about it. There's nothing wrong with fear. Now, follow me carefully. Here's the sermon. There is something wrong with fearing fear. Nothing wrong with being afraid, unless you are afraid to be afraid. Unless you are afraid to enter some endeavor that you ought to enter, because you will be afraid in that endeavor. God is saying here that we should choose to be afraid. Because in choosing to be afraid, then you are overcoming the only fear that God tells us not to have. I am not to be afraid to be afraid. But now, once I'm in the battle, I'm afraid. But I'm not to be afraid to get in a battle I ought to get in. God is saying that we should choose, hear me now, we should choose to attempt things that will cause fear. We should choose to attempt things that will cause fear. In other words, we should not shrink from being afraid. It takes courage to be afraid. I'm saying this morning, don't be a coward and lack the courage of being willing to enter into an endeavor. If anybody that does right in the face of opposition, there's fear there. But don't be afraid to be afraid of doing right in the opposition. Let me illustrate. Our first little church had 19 members and up in northeast Texas. Our second church, we went there, we had about 40 people. And the church grew rapidly, and I got known all over east Texas. I'm talking about a kid preacher, 21, 22, 23 years of age. And I started preaching all over east Texas. I'd get in the car and drive at night, drive back through the night. And nearly every night, I'd preach somewhere in East Texas. I'm talking about Wascom and Halton and Hallsville and all around East Texas, I'd preach. Then we moved to Garland, Texas, and the church became the fastest-growing church in the world. And then I got known all over Texas. I'd preach then in San Antonio and Houston and El Paso and Amarillo and Lubbock, and I got known all over Texas and even the states surrounding Texas. I'd preach in Oklahoma and Arkansas, and Louisiana, and the state surrounding Texas, I'd preach. Then one day, I got invitation. Our ministry got so big, I got known around the nation. And I got an invitation to go to Norfolk, Virginia. Now, that was the first long trip. Every other trip, I had driven. I drive from all over East Texas. I drive all over Texas. I went from Dallas to Houston. I drive to Houston, went to Dallas, San Antonio. I drive to San Antonio, but now then I've got an invitation. I can't drive and get back from my services on Sunday or Wednesday night. I've got to decide how to get there. Now, this shocked you. I was afraid to fly. Now, I had made 19 jumps from airplanes. I was a paratrooper, but I was afraid to fly. You know why I was afraid to fly? Because I was afraid to land. I never had landed an airplane. Never. I took off 19 times and jumped out first 19 flights, The first flight I ever made in an airplane in my life, I jumped out. Didn't that? I jumped out of the second and third, and 19 consecutive flights never landed. I was horrified at landing in an airplane. Horrified. So I got an invitation to preach in Norfolk, so I got me a train. And I got me one of these little roomettes on the train. Are you listening to me? Okay, fine. And I got me one of those roomettes on the airplane, on the train, I mean. I was afraid to fly, scared to death. And it took me 2 days to get to Norfolk. I took a train to Washington, D.C., and then took a train from Washington, D.C., the bus from Washington, D.C., down to Norfolk because I was afraid to fly. But when the thing was over, it was over on Friday night. I had to get back for Sunday, which means I had to fly. Would you believe this? A snowstorm came about like in Denver today, in Norfolk, Virginia. Greatest snowstorm up to then in the history of Norfolk. I said, good. I won't have to go home. I can stay here, catch a train Monday. I went out to the airport, and they said, no planes are leaving the airport. So I went to the telephone, and I called the Greyhound bus terminal to see if any buses were going to Washington, D.C. That way, I could ride the bus, but I had to fly. I was going to fly to Washington and try to fly back from Washington to Dallas. No jet planes in those days. And they said, sorry, all the roads are closed. I went to rent a car. They said, we're not renting any cars. You can't get from here anywhere. All the highways are closed outside Norfolk. I said, hot dog, I'm going to go back. And so I started to leave, and the announcement came on. The only plane that's going to leave here tonight is the plane to Washington, D.C. Oh, dirty bric-a-brac, a pack of little bunch of letters. That's my airplane. I was scared to death, literally scared to death. I'd called the rental car. I'd called the bus terminal. I didn't want to fly to Washington, especially the stores. I'd never flown and landed before, and here's a bunch of, you couldn't see that far. I got on the airplane, and all of a sudden, don't know me. I'd had some stomach trouble, not the kind you have, Brother Keith, but I'd had some stomach trouble. And my doctor had given me phenobarbital tablets to take. One tablet a day. And they one tablet made you a little woozy. Two made you drunk. Three made you not care whether you lived or died. I've been on them ever since. But I took that, I got on the airplane, and don't know me, I got these phenobarbital pills in my pocket. I went inside the washroom at the back of the airplane and took three phenobarbitals. I'll probably be in jail by noon, but I took three. Are you listening? Went back and had a seat on that little airplane, little prop airplane, sat down there. And the fellow beside me looked at me and said, well, I know you. And I said, I don't know. He said, aren't you Dr. Jack Hyatt? I said, yes, sir. He said, boy, am I glad to see you. Man alive, I know this plane won't go down if you're on it. That's the best news I'd heard all night long, I think, for sure. He said, you know, a great man of God like you, you'll be ashamed of me. I'm a Christian, but I was afraid to fly this plane. He said, I even went and called Greyhound Bus to see if they had a bus. I said, you didn't. He said, that isn't all. I checked with the car rental people. I said, I'll declare. He said, I'll tell you another thing, too. He said, a while ago, I went to the washroom and took three tranquilizers. What kind of a Christian are you, buddy? I said. But he said, thank God. Thank God I'm sitting beside you. I know it'll be okay. I went back to the washroom. I got on my knees, made an altar out of the little thing in there. And I got on my knees. And I said, dear God, I'm afraid to fly. But I've got to decide tonight whether I'm going to cover this nation. I have invitations coming from all over America. Now, I've got to decide tonight whether I'm going to cover this nation or not. Am I going to take these invitations? Or am I going to drive to Waxahachie and Muleshoe, Texas, and Nacogdoches, and make that the limit of my ministry? Am I going to try to influence the nation? Or am I going to put myself down in Dallas, Texas? Dear Lord, I'm afraid to fly, but tonight I'm deciding to be afraid. That's been over 8 million air miles ago. I decided to be afraid. And when you decide to be afraid, that's what courage is. When there's something you ought to do and some something you should do, but something you know if you do it, you'll be afraid when you do it, and you decide not to be afraid, to be afraid. That's the only fear that God condemns us for. In fact, he says, happy is the man that feareth always. God wants you to be afraid, but God does not want you to be afraid of being afraid. I've written, Rocky Shalafu, where are you? How many books have I written? 48 books I've written. Millions and millions of copies have been sold. All of them to my mother and my wife. But I've written 48 books. Can I tell you about the first book I wrote? A little book called How to Boost Your Church Attendance. I typed it myself. Now, I can't type, but I typed it myself. And I wrote the book. But I made a mistake before I sent it in. I read it. And I said to myself, this is not worth printing. It's not well written. I'm not an author. But I took the book, every page individually, wadded it up, and threw it in the garbage can. And I said, folks will laugh at this book. Zondervan Publishers had already agreed to publish it for me. I talked to Pat, the late Pat Zondervan, and he and I had lunch together, and he had agreed to publish it for me. But I put it in the garbage. Why did I put it in the garbage? And then it dawned on me. I'll never get what I believe on paper if I'm afraid to publish books. You won't believe this, but it's true. I got that wadded up paper out of the garbage can. I got me an ironing board and an iron. That's where I learned how to iron. Now I can do it all the time at our house. I learned how to iron. I took every page of that wadded up book and pressed it and sent it to Zondervan. I had decided to be afraid, not to be afraid, to be afraid. By the way, Brother Ray, that's the same book that George Husengay saw advertised in the Zondervan catalog and cut a little piece of advertisement out and tossed it on the desk of the pulpit committee and said, don't know who this fellow is, but this is the guy you ought to consider. Are you trying to hear what I'm trying to say? If I had left that book in the garbage can, I would not be pastor of this church. And most of you would not be saved. And hundreds of you folks would not be in house. In fact, there probably wouldn't be a house Anderson College. But I'm trying to say, I was afraid to be afraid, but I decided not to be afraid. Go ahead and publish the book. If they laugh at me, okay. If it doesn't sell, okay. I'll be fidgety about it, but I decided to have courage enough to be afraid. Old story. I decided on that prayer meeting on a freeway in Southern California, God told me, spoke to my heart, impressed me, I ought to start a college. Came back home, had a meeting with the deacons Saturday night, told them that God had impressed me to start a college, and they voted unanimously to start a college. Old story. I was driving home, went down Sibley, and I got to Seoul, and down Seoul to Kane, and down Kane to Calumet, across the tracks to May, and down May to Columbia. Down Columbia. I was driving down Columbia, and somebody started talking to me. I thought I was alone in the car. And somebody started talking to me. I didn't know who it was, but he had a red suit on. He had horns. It smelled a lot like smoke. He said, hi, Ernst. I said, yes. He said, you're starting a college, aren't you? I said, that's right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Woo! Yes, sir. He said, how many buildings do you have? I said, none. Oh, no buildings. Starting college, are you? Amen. Glory. He said, how much property do you have? Acreage. I said, same as we have buildings. None. Starting a college, are you? I said, amen. Yeah. He said, how many students do you have? I said, the same numbers. We have total buildings and acreage. He said, starting a college, are you? I said, mm-hmm.
How about your faculty?
No faculty either. I was scared to death to be scared. I was afraid. Because I knew when I started that college, I knew I was going to be afraid. I knew I'd have to walk by faith. And I knew I'd be afraid. And I stopped the car. I got out of the car, walked around the back, opened the other door, and said, "Get out! Out!" And I decided not to be afraid. To be afraid. I'm going to tell you, for 26 years, how old was I in college? 26 years. I've been scared. I've been afraid every year if we wouldn't meet our budget. I've been afraid every year that the students wouldn't come in September. For 26 years, I've been afraid. But bless God, I was not afraid to decide to be afraid. Do what you ought to do. You go up to the house and I'll be scared when I do it, okay? It's better to be scared while you're doing it than be scared of being afraid. Don't be afraid of being afraid. The Bible said, "Be not afraid of sudden fear. And happy is the man that feareth always." I decided to be afraid. Can you imagine what would have happened? 1,000 preacher boys and pastors and missionaries all over the world, graduates of that school out there. Plus literally hundreds and hundreds of assistant pastors and music directors and school administrators and school teachers. I wouldn't be surprised, Brother Jack, if we don't have 1,000 teachers all over America teaching in Christian schools. Probably 5,000 people in full-time Christian service, and the greatest churches in America today are being built by people that sat in this auditorium and were trained at that school out there. You say, "Well, how, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, if I'd been like some of you students, there wouldn't be a Howells Anderson College, because you're too chicken to be afraid. I was afraid when I preached my first sermon, but I preached it because I wasn't afraid to be afraid. I was afraid when I jumped out of an airplane the first time, and the second time, and the third time. I was like that Japanese kamikaze pilot. "So what's your name?" He said, "Charmaine." He said, "Well, how come?" I was a kamikaze pilot in the war. "Well, how come you're still alive? You're a kamikaze pilot. Those are suicide missions." He said, "My name is Chicken Charmaine." Well, I was Chicken Jack Hiles. I knew when I sat there and signed that paper, become a paratrooper, when I had my physical, I knew, I pictured myself at the door of that airplane with a sergeant behind me saying, "Ready, go," and nothing below me but space and nothing above me but a piece of silk. I knew I'd be scared to death, but standing back here, when I signed that and decided to go through the training, I said, "I'll be afraid, but I'm not afraid to be afraid." There's no way to tell you how many big old strong men I've won to Christ because they heard I was a paratrooper. And a single truck driver over here. But what lacks real men? Especially the lady truck driver. They like her. That's one reason I like this church here. No, this ain't no preacher wears a skirt while he's preaching. Time and time again, I have won folks to Christ because I told them I was a paratrooper in World War II. I have won men to Christ. I have won 16 paratroopers to Christ that would never have trusted Christ if I had not been a paratrooper. Now you listen, you'll never amount to anything unless you're afraid. But if you are afraid to be afraid, you'll never amount to anything either. You want to sit there in your rocking chair. But you want to sit there in your rocking chair, like the ladies, "I don't know and I don't care. All I want's my rocking chair." And you're afraid. Listen, brother. Irma Kinney back there. Irma. I don't know how old she was before she even got a driver's license. I'm guessing she'd been my secretary for a long time. See, she's 93 now. It's been several years ago. But Irma was afraid to drive. And one day I sat Irma down and I said, Irma, go get your driver's license. And she was afraid. And I said, the day's going to come when you're going to maybe the only person in your family that's able to drive a car. Now go down and get your driver's license. Irma knew she'd be afraid to drive. And by the way, as soon as she learned to drive, the whole country around here was afraid to drive. But she went down and got her driver's license. Now then, Tom has been an invalid, or semi-invalid, and Irma has to drive. I'm trying to say, she couldn't do what she does now if she'd sat back there and still said, I'm afraid to be afraid. I'll be afraid if I drive. I'll be scared to drive. But one day she decided to have the courage to be afraid. And she lost out and got her driver's license. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never do anything worthwhile unless you conquer the fear of being afraid. Choose to do something that's fearful. I don't mean like a fool, a daredevil. I'm not talking about that. I was afraid to go to college, to be in college. Ms. Howes now left our home, Texas. Home, nothing. Left her mother and dad's home where we've been staying. $40 and a black cat and took off for East Texas Baptist College. I was afraid to be in college. I was afraid to face every month the payment. But we decided to go. I had been afraid to go because I was afraid of being afraid. That's why some of you folks are out of college right now. That's why some of you cowards are going to go home. You know why? I'm tired of facing that bill every month. Let me tell you something right now. You'll never mount anything. You conquer the fear of being afraid. Fear not sudden fear. Don't be afraid of being afraid. And by the way, don't be ashamed of being afraid unless you're afraid to be afraid. First jump I made, little Thurlene Johnson. From Trinity, Texas. About as tall as, not as tall as Greg Bush was behind me. I had my foot like that at the door and my hand like that. And the sergeant said, ready? Go! And I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around and Johnson had tears streaming down his cheeks. And he said, Jack, I won't jump if you won't. The greatest offer I've ever had in my life. I wasn't one of those guys that jumped out and said, Geronimo! I didn't jump out. I jumped out and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, pray for us now in the time of our death. I was scared to death, but I'd rather be a man and look fear in the face and say, fear, I'm not afraid of you. I'll be afraid the rest of my life, but I won't be afraid of fear. I was afraid to come to Hammond because Yankees lived up here. In those days, I had a certain place I wanted all Yankees to go. It wasn't heaven or purgatory. We came, knowing that we'd be afraid, knowing that I'd be afraid. I was afraid to go there and of the fear I would face when I got there. But thank God, I looked fear in the face and I said, fear, I'm not going to be afraid of you. I may have you while I'm doing something, but I'm not going to sit back here and do nothing and be afraid of you. It takes more courage to volunteer for fear than it does not to fear. I was afraid when I took my stand in the Southern Baptist Convention. But I wasn't, because I knew what was going to happen. But I wasn't afraid to be afraid. So don't be afraid of the fear in doing what you ought to do. Don't be afraid of the fear in doing what the Bible says to do. Don't be afraid of the fear in doing the will of God. Don't be afraid of the fear of doing what's right to do. As I look back over my life, I've lived in fear. But I've chosen to live in fear. I've had the courage to be afraid. I have not been afraid to be afraid. Every great accomplishment, I said a while ago, that's ever been made in the history of the world. I'm talking about the Wright brothers. I'm talking about Columbus. I'm talking about Salk vaccine. I'm talking about every great accomplishment that's ever been made has been made by cowards, but by people who are not afraid to become cowards. You understand what I'm saying? Then do what's right. But you say it's going to be hard. Okay, but don't be afraid of being afraid when you have to do right. I've had the courage to be afraid. I've not been afraid to be afraid. So go ahead and go to college, even though you're afraid to. Take that bus route, even though you'd be scared to death while you started to take it. Preach that sermon, though when you preach it, you may be scared to death. Keep going forward, though you know when you go forward, it'll be one fear after the other. Take your stand for right at Hammond Baptist High School. It's a shame to have to say that, because some of you punkos that want to take all the labor and sacrifice we've made through these years and go out there and try to destroy Hammond Baptist High School, God have mercy on your soul. But you young people that believe in doing right, take your stand. They're afraid of what will happen. But okay, good. Then decide to be afraid of what happened. But don't be afraid to be afraid because you do right. Same with Howells Anderson College. I wish every one of you folks who stay just inside the rules would pack up your grip and go home this afternoon. If we find out who you are, we're going to send your grip home and send you with it. But until we find out who you are, you Howells Anderson students, stay away from that crowd. But you say, I may be called, I'm afraid of being called a fanatic. I'm afraid of being called a hacker. I'm afraid of being called different. Okay, rather be afraid of being called different than be afraid to be afraid to take your stand for right. Be a Daniel who was afraid in the lion's den, who was not afraid to be afraid. Be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who was afraid in the fiery furnace, but wasn't afraid to be afraid. Be a John the Baptist who was afraid of the beheading sword, but wasn't afraid to be afraid. Happy is the man who feareth always. And there's only one fear that God's ashamed of. And that's when you're afraid. Do what you ought to do, because you'll be afraid. Fear of fear is a sin in the sight of Almighty God. Preacher, if I walked down the aisle this morning and trusted Christ as my Savior, I'd be embarrassed. I'd rather be afraid to walk down the aisle while you're doing it than afraid to be afraid while I'm walking down the aisle. All my friends think at home, if I walk home and say I've trusted Christ, I'm now a Christian, what will they think? I'm afraid to face my mother. I'm afraid to face my father. I'm afraid to face my husband if I told them I trusted Christ. Okay, you look that fear square in the eyeball and say, I may be afraid to go home, but I'm not going to be afraid to trust Christ and put myself in a circumstance that will cause me to fear. Would you bow your heads, please?